Hi, everybody, and welcome to the RuPaul's Drag Race All-Stars 2 Recap here on Reality TV Wrap-Ups. As always, I am Mike Bloom, here to talk about this past week's episode of RuPaul's Drag Race All-Stars. But I am not alone. I am never alone. I am joined by two people, one new, one you've heard before. First, let's introduce the latter, someone who I would personally never throw acid on to, Brent Wolgamott. Brent, how you doing?
Mike, I need some more Alyssa Edwards in my life, because thank God she flipped the script and gave us something to talk about.
Absolutely. Of all the people, Alyssa Edwards to be the one to change the course of the season. Does she? We'll talk about that later on, but for her to do this is definitely indicative of her character. But we're bearing the lead a little bit here. Unfortunately, Ali Lasher is a little unwell. She lost her voice, probably going to a Helen of Troy death metal concert. But we luckily had someone swing in and be our saving grace at the last moment. She is not new to reality TV wrap-ups. You may remember her from her coverage of the Bachelor franchise, including the Bachelorette and Bachelor in Paradise, as well as 90 Day Fiancé, the Olympics. She's got it all. Welcome to the RuCap podcast, Haley Strong. How's it going?
I am absolutely gagging on this podcast, Eleganza. I am so excited to be here. I have so many feelings about this show, and I am so excited to have a platform to talk about it with someone who cares, because my boyfriend does not.
So you watch this with your boyfriend?
No, I don't. But I like want to talk about it. So I like tell him things and he's like, I don't care.
Well, I'm glad to serve as the heterosexual man in your life, Haley, that you can talk about Drag Race with. But before we jump into talking about this episode, I am interested, Haley, because you are such a big Drag Race fan. Can you tell us a little bit about when you first got into the show, maybe some of your favorite queens, and overall, what have you thought about this season so far?
So I'm like a fairly recent fan. When Brent and Ali did a podcast about RuPaul's Drag Race, I was like, I should watch this show. I will basically listen to anything Ali podcasts about. Like if she had a CSI Cyber podcast, I'd be all over that.
Rest in peace.
Hallelujah. But so I went back and I watched seasons 4 through current. I do remember back in university, I watched a full season. I think it was season 1 or 2. It happened to be on VH1 that day, and we somehow got that. So me and my roommate sat there all day and watched it, and I didn't see it again on television for like years and years and years. But here we are. I'm hardcore. I watched the four or aforementioned seasons like a couple times. I'm obsessed. My favorite queens, I love Katya, so I was so excited to see her back and better than ever. I have this really weird, deep crush on Trixie Mattel that I just can't quite explain.
So I'm there like, with you. I'm there.
Oh my God, like I'm obsessed. Like yeah. Just like it's not even okay. Like I watched that 25-minute video of her applying her makeup on Logo one time. I'm there. I love Jinx. I've been rewatching season 5 recently, so that love has just been reignited. I definitely sway towards the comedy queens. The glamour ones just kind of don't always do it for me. They feel like a little one note occasionally, but I just love this show, and I'm so excited to talk about it. I think it's easily one of the best shows on television. As someone who loved America's Next Top Model, Project Runway, Last Comic Standing, I feel like this show is like the perfect encompassing thing of those three shows. So here we are.
Yeah, it's like a Frankenstein-esque hybrid of all of those reality shows. And we are super happy to have you on board, Haley, as well. Before we really jump into the episode itself, Brent, I know you told us beforehand you wanted to clear up a couple things from our previous recap.
Right. Two things. So first of all, a couple people tweeted me about Adore and my particular criticisms of her. I went back and watched the first episode, and particularly Michelle Visage's criticisms of Adore. And after a third watch, I guess I didn't really absorb it. Maybe the first two times that I watched it. I will side with these people and say that I think Michelle was a bit harsh, because she really went after Adore in a way that I felt was, looking back on it, was a little bit uncalled for, because remember, this was not a fashion show. This was a talent competition. Okay. And Adore came out there, wrote a song, performed it. All right. And then she gets on the runway for critiques, and Michelle says, you know, after, well, you know, I didn't like your hair. She goes, well, it's human. And she goes, I did it myself. And she goes, well, that shows you've done something. I'm like, Bitch, what are you talking about? Like,
that was a totally condescending remark. And I loved Adora's look. I love the purple hair. I love the purple lipstick. And I love the dress and the gloves where it was just kind of like a, you know, all blackout and the hair and the lips really stood out.
Right. Well, I will be honest, I didn't love the look. I felt like it was between two worlds. I wish she would have gone total grunge or total glam. I didn't really love the mix of the two. Having said that, I do agree with these people that Michelle went a bit beyond the pale. She didn't need to go there, especially when she knows these queens. Maybe she was trying to feel like, she was trying to prove that she can critique these queens and still be friends with them at the same time. Okay, that's number one. Mm-hmm. Number two, I listened to my podcast from last week and I realized how ridiculous I sound because I was trying to talk about tucking. Okay. And this is Rob has a podcast. And you guys know Rob has a podcast. Rob has a podcast is very, you know, Seinfeld-esque. We try to keep the cursing to a minimum and I always do my best. Okay. However, I listened to my podcast and I was saying things like, you know, penis and scrotum and things like that. I'm not going to do that anymore. So if y'all are offended by me saying dick and balls, then you're just going to have to get out of the room because this is a podcast about RuPaul's Drag Race. It's about boys dressing up as girls, tucking their dicks behind their asshole. And if you can't handle that, then I ain't got nothing for you. So just know ahead of time that if it needs to be said, if the tea needs to be spilled, I'm going to spill it and I am going to mince words about it. Okay, Mike, go.
I like how you compared it to Seinfeld as a family-friendly podcast when Seinfeld is one of the first shows to have an entire episode about masturbation. Haley, we spoke about Adore a few minutes ago. I'm intrigued to know, you know, through those first couple of episodes, they were pretty eventful. I know at the end of the podcast last week, I think all three of us, Brent, Allie, and myself, were kind of the same mentality of, it's fun to see these queens back, but I don't know if I'm completely on board yet. Were you feeling the same way before this episode?
No, I feel like I was on board right from the get-go. And I'm not sure why. I find I always have like just like a natural positivity about these shows and I'm just like more excited about them. And then I go back and think about, you know, the flaws or like I listen to you guys. I'm like, oh yeah, you guys are right. You guys are right. I didn't think about that. The Adore thing, it was really heartbreaking to me because she was a lot of fun in season 6. And I recently kind of went back and watched some of these episodes and she was just like brought this light to the season and it was so wonderful. And then this season, it was just so off-brand, and although her entrance was perfect, and then she introduced herself, and she was like, I'm Adore Delano, and I'm a messy slut. And it was like, yes, this is Adore. And then just halfway through the episode, that personality dropped off, and she wasn't there anymore. So it was really upsetting to see Adore, I don't know, just kind of not be Adore. And
sad Adore is no good. We like happy
Adore. You guys went into detail about all the stuff that was going on before she came on the show. And I agree, you know, it's hard to say no, but she should have said no. And I couldn't understand why she was like, I'll say yes, because I might never get this opportunity again. But the unfortunate part is if she said no, I'm like, hey, listen, this is what's going on. I just can't do it right now. I think that bodes well for her. In case there's an All-Stars 3, I feel like she would get a call automatically. But now she has this reputation in the show community. You know, her reputation is tarnished forever, and that's really sad.
Yeah, the weird thing was that even on the previously on in this episode, there was no mention of Adore whatsoever. They completely glossed over the first 20 minutes of that supersized hour and a half episode and said they just focused on the challenge. So I'm not sure if that's a sign that production wants to kind of sweep this under the rug, but time will tell. And maybe we'll even see at the reunion that will probably occur in a couple months from now, you know, how the community or even just the production company World of Wonder is going to either accept or reject Adore from now on.
Yeah, will she even be there? Like, she hasn't been at any of the promo things. Like, not a single thing.
I don't know.
It's a good question.
It's possible. I could easily see her not being there and not wanting to answer the questions. On the other hand, she does have a great respect for Rue. If Rue wants her there, she'll be there. So, I guess that's where we'll leave it.
Well, let's jump into this episode. Despite it only being 60 minutes, there were a load of things packed in here. Even in this post-elimination pre-Maxi Challenge reveal segment, the main thing that I at least gleaned from it are that we're starting to see a rivalry emerge here on All Stars 2 between Fifi O'Hara and Alyssa Edwards. And maybe this is more of a one-sided rivalry, but I'm intrigued to see after, you know, Fifi came in the very first episode saying I'm ready to change my reputation. Even in this episode at the mirror talk right before the runway, we're getting talk about, you know, her getting threatened to throw acid in her face. Detox was targeting her because she was going after Queens. But it seems to me, Brent, like this tiger is not changing her stripes anytime soon.
You're speaking about Fifi, and I agree. Yes. Well, the great thing is, based on the ending of this episode and the previews for the next episode, you can't keep a good bitch down because, you know, Fifi, she cannot help herself. She is Fifi. She will always be Fifi. She's going to Fifi the hell out of these people, and she's going to be a bitch. And you can see it in, starting in the next episode, and you can even really see it in these first few episodes, actually, I could anyway, that she was annoyed with some people. Like, her patience is about, like, this thin. And that was great podcasting this then. It was just, she has no patience. So she really, I don't love the fact that she's probably going to get painted into the villain role again, but she's so confrontational with people. She just can't help herself.
Yeah, but not even there's confrontational aspects to it. But even Ginger points out she's also doing like microaggressions where we saw last episode when she, you know, approaches Roxy and says, you know, don't do Sofia Vergara. This episode, she's going to sit down with Ginger and say like, oh, your dress is huge. And it's not even her going after them. This is not her yelling at Sharon Needles to go back to Party City. But it's these small little tweaks that I think she's trying to use as some sort of form of mental warfare. And what I've realized is, whenever she's in confessional saying something, giving her opinion on someone, it turns out the complete opposite happens. She's almost like the James Miller from Survivor Palau of RuPaul's Drag Race. Like this episode, she's going to harp in the beginning about how Alyssa is a character and she's not going to be able to act and adapt herself. And then she turns out to win the challenge overall. Haley, I know Alyssa is a little bit of a polarizing character. Since this is your first time on the RuCap, I would love to hear your thoughts about her in general, especially since you said you have been rewatching season 5 recently.
Yeah, so I've always been, like, fine with her. I think my issue with her in season 5 is the Coco and Alyssa storyline, which I just had no interest in. And because of so much of her screen time was dedicated to that, I kind of left season 5 with her being like, But this season, I love her. She's so much fun. I think she watched her season and really learned from it and to be like, hey, I can do all of these things, not just be Alyssa and not just be like a pageant queen. I think she really proved that in this episode, that she is a star and she has a lot of talent and she can, you know, channel that into different things. I thought she's had a lot of good lines. She's done some great performances. Her looks have been on point in confessionals and in the workroom. I'm fine with her on the runway. She's a little too much for me there, but like, I understand that's Alyssa, and so I'm fine with it. But man, her blazer game this season, oh, I'm in on that.
Yes, as borrowed from Todrick Hall, as Fifi tried to throw shade onto her the next day. There's a lot of fun Alyssa stuff in this first little segment between her mistakenly counting that there were 8 queens left, and Detox makes the joke that she was looking in the mirror and counted herself twice. I think they edited probably a lot of Alyssa shtick in the beginning to get these confessionals of Fifi saying that she's a little much, even though I also liked, on top of that, the moment where Fifi was like patting himself with a powder puff while he's talking about it, which is perfectly kitschy RuPaul's Drag Race. Sort of like tangential to that, I don't think we even talked about how I love how much producers are involved in these confessionals, personally speaking. Like, we're gonna get this confessional the next day of Katya saying, well, it's a new day in the workroom, and then he stops himself and says, I hate doing these confessionals, and the producer's like off screen saying, no, it's great, you're doing a great job. Brent, have you noticed how many of those confessionals have happened over the course of RuPaul's Drag Race?
I suppose I noticed them a little bit more here and there. I mean, you know, these people, these queens, they know the people who, you know, the people in RuPaul's Drag Race have been there for mostly forever. They're the same people who've been there. And so they have a relationship with them prior to this season, and just like they do the other queens. And so they feel like family coming back and saying, hi, how you doing? You know, and I feel like there's just a more conversational attitude about it.
Yeah, which is great compared to other shows where, you know, just like the show that Brent might be covering, for instance, where your confessionals seem to be a little more scripted. Again, it's a great plus side of having contestants that are born entertainers is that they know how to give out a good soundbite. But they won't be giving out soundbites for this maxi challenge because it's all about the lip sync, baby. It's a lip sync extravaganza highlighting the baddest bitches in herstory. Haley, looking at this challenge at first glance, were you excited to get this big lip sync going in episode 3?
Yeah, I always enjoy the lip sync challenges. I think there's like a lot of moving parts that make them really interesting. One of my favorite challenges ever was the last season, the Bitch Perfect challenge. I go back and watch that like often. So I was excited for this one. And I think it was a great challenge. I wasn't sure how they were going to pull it off, kind of weaving each woman through history. But I loved it. I thought it was so much fun. And I didn't think there was like a single weak person in this entire challenge.
Right. Yeah, I agree with that. I was going to say quickly that first, I have two hot takes on this. Number one, they were so good. I thought for sure this was going to be the episode where they didn't eliminate anybody because of the fact that Adore had quit. And number two, my second hot take is that Katya got stuck with a big old fat turd because
I totally agree.
Wow.
When they told her that it was Solemn, like, yeah, because she had a horrifically tragic story. She was like forced to marry this guy who she didn't like. She got divorced from this guy she didn't like. She got exiled, and then she died in a fiery car wreck because people wouldn't leave her the F alone. Like, yeah, it's going to be a little on the solemn side. Like, come on, guys. Like, what are you talking about?
Right. And we all know what Diana looks like. That's the other thing that Rick, I'm glad she pointed that out, although it didn't seem to do Katya any favors. But we'll get to it. I know. Sorry. Go ahead.
Yeah, that's the one downside I see to this challenge is that it did seem like, and it wasn't even the characters themselves. We'll talk about the actual presentation, and I'm totally on board with you guys. I was enraptured by this entire lip sync performance. I think there really was not wasn't a weak person in the bunch. And if they were, it was because maybe not just because of the look, but because that verse in particular was not great. Like, I would argue the Princess Di verse itself in terms of lyric writing was the weakest, because you're not going to have like Catherine the Great is making jokes about having sex with horses. You can't do the same thing with Princess Diana. So you have to feel a little limited, as if you're in, you know, a tight corseted dress. There's only so much room you'll be able to breathe. This also does bring up some more meta aspects with this challenge. Brent, I think you talked in previous podcasts about how the queens sort of know what they're coming in with. The British kind of warn them what looks to prepare in general, not just for the episode. I know Arwa asked us a question of, you know, how come all the girls had the perfect dress for the main challenge?
There's a reason, Brent, for that.
Yeah, Brent, we're going to assume that beforehand, you know, the producers went to Alaska, for instance, and said, okay, prepare an outfit to be Eve, because you're going to have to do that at some point in the competition.
Yeah, exactly. There's a YouTube channel called We Love Katya. So, and it's all one word, We Love Katya. You guys should subscribe to it, because Katya gives behind the scenes of what happens on each episode after it airs. And she says that the producers came to her early on and said, you know, after she was cast on All Stars, they gave her, you know, about a week to prepare. And they said that you're going to need an outfit for Marie Antoinette. And so she was looking at that for about a day, and then they changed it to no, it's not going to be Marie Antoinette, it's going to be Princess Di. So you need to have a Princess Di-esque outfit to do at some point in the competition. So all of these queens ahead of time knew at some point in some way, somewhere down the line, they're going to use this costume in the competition. They just don't know when it's going to come up, but whatever they brought with them, they're definitely stuck with.
Yeah, and I know that I had heard somewhere that I think Tatiana might have been asked to prepare Princess Di at some point as well. I think Adore was supposed to be Cleopatra. I'm not sure about Coco.
I was wondering why there wasn't a Cleopatra, and that makes so much sense.
Yeah, so maybe, unfortunately, they couldn't find a backup in time. Haley, looking at this outline of seven women throughout history, do you feel like there were, outside of Cleopatra, some glaring holes, some historical figures that the show missed out on?
Yeah, Cleopatra. I was really confused as to why that one wasn't there. I was not a history student.
Any Canadian woman, as a Canadian citizen, were you disappointed that no Canadian citizens were represented on the main stage?
Not really, because America likes to forget about Canada in general. And there's no one I can really think of.
Yeah, Mike, you're testing us here. No pop quizzes, Mike. No pop quizzes. What about,
I was just thinking, like, I know Princess Di was classy, but what about someone like Monica Lewinsky? Wouldn't that have been fun to have someone come out like that and you could have a bunch of Bill Clinton dress stain jokes?
Yeah, but Mike, that gets a little bit... First of all, there are many things that Ru is, but RuPaul is not... gross. And so I think that would get into a lewd category that Ru does not care to go into. The Ru can say things like, you know, dick balls asshole, but she's not going to get into something like, you know, whatever on a dress. Okay, number one. And number two, I think that the whole point of this was that this was her story, as in all these bitches are dead, like they're not still alive. And obviously Monica Lewinsky, fortunately or unfortunately, depending on your point of view, is still with us.
Yeah, that's true. I guess we would have to go with, what about Amy Winehouse? She's, I don't know. I'm,
no,
I'm just
like,
throwing
give me,
out
like, Margaret Thatcher or something.
Margaret Thatcher.
Right?
Like, I feel like they could have had fun with Margaret Thatcher, right?
Margaret Thatcher would have been the better choice rather than Princess Di.
Yeah, like, you could do way more with that.
Yeah.
Yeah. And I think you could also have fun with it being like, yeah, here's, like, a decrepit, older, hard-faced woman, and then have her do the same thing that you did with the Princess Di character, even, and I feel like you could have much more fun with that. So we dive into the challenge itself. We could tell that Katya is going to struggle from the beginning, considering that Princess Di's most memorable outfit is her big wedding dress. Katya prepared the dress, as Brent alluded to, but then she figured out, oh, if this is for a challenge where we actually are moving around the stage, I have to cut off the train. Now, Brent, Michelle is going to later on criticize Katya for not putting the train on. Do you think she was unfounded in her judgment there? Do you think there was a legitimate way to still keep the train on and be able to perform at the same time?
I'm going
to
channel one of my favorite 80s TV shows, Different Strokes, when I say, what you talking about, Michelle? Like, what the hell? Like, you cannot have a train that's 10 feet long in a dancing challenge. If I was Katya, I would have spoken up at that point and said, bitch, you know nothing. What would you have me do? We were dancing all around the stage. We had pirouettes and chassis and chassés. Like, how in the hell was she supposed to have a 10-foot train like Diana had? Like,
can you imagine all the other girls like stepping on it and like Katya falling or one of the other girls slipping?
Right.
I think what could have saved that part was right before her number, she was kind of off to the side. I feel like she could have attached like maybe like a belt train and at least have that illusion there. And then that could have been another thing where she, like, in the divorce thing, she could have thrown off the train, thrown off the crown, and, like, been, like, a whole new woman.
That could have been it, yeah, because as you said, when they were doing the whole Roxy, Eva Perón tango, she was offstage, so that could have been a possibility. But even then, they go immediately from after that into that big, you know, strut line at the very end, and I don't know if it was her decision or maybe, you know, the choreographers got involved, Ant and Ash, and said in their cute Australian accents that that's not something that she'll be able to do. But yeah, this was a series of unfortunate events for Katya.
She also didn't get good choreography. Like, you can't blame her for not getting good choreography.
There is a bonus video on Logo TV about how they were trying to work with Katya and Katya.
But even then, she was like, she did. I also watched the video in preparation for this. She did what they were telling them, what they told her to do. And she was placed in this one spot on the stage and didn't move. And I feel like that's on the choreography. I don't think that's totally on Katya.
Yeah,
I really don't.
She was definitely hamstrung.
Let's talk about the choreography a little bit, because any lip sync challenge or any final challenge, this is obviously a big component. Some people excel, like Alyssa Andrews. Some people might flounder. We know Ginger has a big problem with dance. Brent, any big takes on this choreography segment that we got this episode?
No, but I'm sure that the audience is going to point out that they would like to meet Alyssa Andrews, like you just said.
I keep saying that, damn it.
I want to meet that queen. Girl, come on out. We want to meet you. Anyway, so look, here's the thing about the choreography, especially when you know, again, and they know ahead of time, they're told who's judging the panel. If you know that the choreographers are not on the judging panel, don't sweat the choreography. You can literally do whatever you want. The choreographers are not there. Like, just make it fun. Make Ru laugh and you will be fine. I don't understand people getting all nervous about the choreography. Thankfully, it looks like none of them did. And as they shouldn't, because the choreographer wasn't on the judging panel.
Yeah, it seemed like the only three people they really highlighted were Ginger with the choreography a bit, even though hers was probably the most simple. It was, you know, put the stick horse behind your head, gallop across the stage. I know Alyssa, there were some talks from Fifi specifically about how she might have been too over the top. And then there was that one moment where they gave some choreography to Detox and she was probably a little too stiff. Haley, do you think any of these were going to be harbingers of their doom, or do you just think it was simple reality TV editing to just create drama?
I thought it was mostly editing, especially with like Alyssa Edwards. It's like she's a dancer and this challenge is supposed to be over the top. So whatever. But Ginger, I was worried for because it was like, yeah, she was not a good dancer. But luckily, like you said, she got some of the easiest choreography and I thought she pulled it off really well. I didn't really notice her in any of the background of the scene, so I can't really comment on how her choreography played into the ensemble scenes.
Right. Mm-hmm. The thing about the choreographers, I thought they were being a little too judgy about like they are not going to look like dancers who are 20 years old and have like legs of gold. I mean, that's what I felt like that's what they were expecting of these queens. I'm like,
amazing that Fifi O'Hara was able to dance in the number and choreograph it at the same time.
Oh, right. I know. She's talented like that.
Can't change your stripes. I'll
and
say
by
it
the
again.
Way, I also want to point out, just so you guys know, I said this in the first episode and people poo-pooed me on Twitter, but notice that all of these people, as they do their confessionals, are in the exact same outfit. All of these confessionals were taped on the same day, okay? All of them were taped on the same day. You can tell by their outfits. You can tell by the way they're talking. Like, so you can still, Adora was still crying in when she went from episode one to episode two, for God's sake.
And Alaska's like ice cream,
right?
Hair was the same. That's what I looked at because I was like, I figured the Alyssa can put on the glasses, Katya can put on the t-shirt, Detox can like draw on those terrifying eyebrows, but I don't know if Alaska can recreate that coif every time.
Right, she can. And that's the thing you guys need to, like, for those of you who are watching out there, you need to look at the foreshadowing to this, because when Fifi's giving her commentary in this episode, the season has already taken place by the time she's doing that commentary. So I can already see some, like, you can see her attitude towards Alyssa. So obviously things are going to go downhill with Alyssa, if you can't tell that already.
Yeah. It seems like you said, they're kind of tying them all. It reminds me a little bit of how, like, in the Amazing Race, they have them give confessionals after the leg happens so that you can kind of tell from their temperament if things were going well or if things weren't going well. It's not like, again, Survivor or Big Brother where it happens in the middle of the competition. So if you're reading into the edit and the confessionals, you can probably tell what might happen, at least in recent events. Before we dive into the challenge itself, I do want to talk again about this Fifi segment that we get in the mirror, and I'm just so mystified by this idea that Detox, before even being on the show, had harassed Fifi on Twitter about how she acted during the competition. I mean, this is not exactly a one-for-one comparison, but Brent, it sort of reminds me when Big Meech, apparently, before coming onto this season, had blasted you guys a little bit as the LFC before going on to Big Brother.
Right, but this was even worse, though, because Big Meech blasted us when she's a nobody. Detox was blasting Fifi when Detox was a big deal, and she was defending Willem. So that's where it was coming from. It wasn't from Sharon Needles. You know, Detox would give two fucks about Sharon Needles.
Talking about the LA Queens, and I was trying to remember who she would have been talking about.
Yeah, but she was in
the
group.
Not the Pittsburgh Queens.
She was in that
two
group.
Of them.
It was a group called DWV. It's somebody wrote me on Twitter. It's apparently disbanded, so it's not even in existence anymore. Detox left it. It was Detox, William, Detox, Willem, and Vicky. I can't remember her last name, but it was like a play on Sisters with Voices, SWV. It was called DWV.
Okay, so obviously Detox felt if they came after Willem, then you're coming after her.
Exactly.
But I just found that funny that after that, then Detox ended up coming on to the season. And again, I think we talked about this in our preview podcast about how Roxy definitely took the brunt of internet hate for her treatment of Jinx. So I would say Relaska Talks in general was not terribly kind to her. So Detox probably did not experience the same treatment that Fifi got as a result. But I just always find those things really convenient when a contestant that previously went after somebody not only goes on to the show after them, but now they have an instance where they're working together. And it seems like it's water under the bridge, definitely. But I thought that was funny for Fifi to actually call Detox out on that.
Yeah, you could tell that she was still a little hurt by it. I could see it in Fifi's voice.
I would be
voice.
Too.
Yeah.
I'd hold on to that bitterness.
Right?
Hell yeah, I would.
Haley, by the way, I know people were up in arms a little bit that Willem was not on All Stars 2. Do you miss Willem on the show, especially in the midst of Adore quitting and kind of leaving a spot open?
I kind of hated Willem on season 4, but like afterwards, that's when I kind of understood the comedy of Willem. I just don't feel like she has a place here on All Stars for some reason.
She's kind of she's above it all. Come on, Mike.
Like, yeah, like, exactly. And she doesn't need this. Like that.
Yeah.
It's kind of like why isn't Courtney Act here? It's because she's too good for this kind of thing.
Yeah, that's true. Very, very true. Yeah. And who knows? Maybe if they do All Stars 3 and they do a grand prize of like $500,000, maybe it'll be worth it for these queens to come back.
Yeah. So it just feels like Willem has burned too many bridges with Rue, with this show, with production, with the other queens, with everyone.
Burn that bridge and then sailed away from that bridge on a boat featuring pictures of herself stamped all over the hull.
Yeah.
So let's talk about the maxi challenge here. Guest judge Jeremy Scott, who Ooh. I learned is a fashion designer. Brent, do you want to talk a little bit about what you know about Jeremy Scott?
No, but I'd sleep with him. I don't know anything about him. Like, I mean, like, his fashion looked fun. It's
love
very,
the outfit.
Yeah, it's very Jughead-esque to me, like with the jacket and the crown. Like, I'm like,
oh,
I
yes.
guess
sexy
I love
Jughead.
How Rue was like, I love the shirt. And he was like, yeah, my mom designed it because he was wearing no shirt.
I feel like he was a judge on America's Next Top Model at some point because he looks super familiar to me.
Right.
The thing that I know about Jeremy Scott, and I'm very lucky in that my wife knows enough about fashion to inform me of this, is that he once had a deal with Adidas where he created a line of shoes, but the shoes kind of had something resembling a Velcro shackle on them that attached to the shoes. And essentially he got lambasted because there were connotations of slavery involved. So I'm glad that he's still able to sort of have his career continue and be able to appear on TV shows amidst possibly being accused of being a racist.
Interesting. I'm going to go look that up now. Oh my gosh. Like I put in Jeremy Scott. The second search item is Jeremy Scott Adidas. Interesting.
Yeah. Yeah. Very, cool. Very unfortunate connotation to it. But luckily enough, he is no prisoner here. He is willfully here to judge RuPaul's Drag Race. Talking about the judging panel, I know Haley, Brent and I and Allie as well have been a little down on Todrick Hall this season. Are you in agreement with us? Do you feel like he's not bringing it at all?
Yeah, I would definitely agree with that. He's just, hey, if you're calling Katya's Princess Di monotone, well, look at the guy to your right, because he talks like this. Hey, you guys did a great job.
Yeah, he's too reverential to Rue at this point. I feel like he was a little bit better in this episode, a little. He at least had a prepared line at the beginning when Rue said something about, like, you know, this is your first lip sync extravaganza. And he was like, yeah, I'm going to lose my virginity today or something like that. You know, like it was at least something beyond, thank you, Rue, I'm so happy to be here, you know, which is not RuPaul's Drag Race. As Allie and I noted in Twitter last week, RuPaul's Drag Race is not serious. Like, lighten up, bitch. It's just a lip sync.
Yeah, I think Todrick's competing for RuPaul's best friend's race. He watched that one scene from the room in season 4 and
right?
decided to go after it.
Exactly.
I will give him a little bit of credit, though, this episode. There were a couple times in the judges' critiques where he did disagree with what the others were saying. So I have to give him at least a little credit. He might be kissing Rue's ass, but he's not a simple, you know, nod your head with everyone else. Like, for example, Ellen DeGeneres was on American Idol.
Yeah, I guess I like I said, I want more. I think we all expected more. We know what he's like on YouTube. I know what he's like on Twitter. So I expected more. And, you know, maybe it's a little big of a stage for him. Maybe it's a little bit too big of a step up. I'm not trying to throw shade. I love him. But, you know, he's got to work it out. He's got a few more episodes.
It just always felt like an odd choice for this role.
Well, like, I'll disagree that I thought he was a good choice, but. And I'll say that for two reasons. One, because he is into, you know, like entertaining and YouTube, and he dresses like a drag queen who's a boy, number one. And number two, he's someone of color. So I can understand why they'd want him on the panel there, because, you know, it's always good to have more diversity on the panel and, you know, swap out two gay, waspy white boys in terms of Carson Kressley and Ross Matthews and put Todrick Hall up there. So I got that. Having said that, I agree with you guys. Like, he ain't bringing it so far, and I can't tell you what it is other than it's like obscenity.
But you just don't
I know
feel
it when
it.
I see it. Yeah. I just don't feel it.
Well, if I may put on a tinfoil hat, and which looks like probably the beaded wig that Alyssa Edwards had on the runway.
Yes, love it.
I think that they're probably going to utilize Todrick to direct the music video in the finale. I think Alyssa even foreshadowed a little bit earlier on this episode when he said, you know, I hope that one of the challenges is that Todrick directs us in a music video. Obviously, they always close out the finale with a music video. I think Todrick would be the one to do it. Then it might be like the biggest budget, most out there music video there ever was. And then they thought, oh yeah, we can just sort of curtail this into a season long gig for Todrick. So again, this is me giving some wild speculation, but that may be a reason why they wanted to use Todrick for the entire season.
Yeah, it could be something as simple as Ross Matthews couldn't be there for the whole season. They needed to get somebody else like that. Like we're making up all these exotic reasons why he's on the panel like that. It could just be like Ross couldn't do it. They needed another gay boy. They said, hey, girl, come on over. And he said, OK.
All right. So going into the challenge, and again, like last week, what I kind of want to do is break down each of these queens, and we'll pair together like the judges do, both the performance in the lip sync herstory challenge and their appearances on the runway. We have a runway theme this week. It is the future of drag, probably a little more. Allows for a little more flexibility than something like latex, and no pun intended there. Let's start at the beginning. In the beginning, there was Alaska as Eve. She is rocking the typical Eve look of the leaves over the privates. She's singing about Adam and Steve, bacon apple pies, and then for her future drag look, I would compare it to if Edward Scissorhands fell into a cotton candy machine. She's got like 3 foot long nails and a big light blue coif. Haley, what were your thoughts about Alaska, who is, she's a big front runner. She won last week's lip sync challenge. She's only safe this episode. Do you think that was the right placement for Alaska this episode?
Yeah, I do. I loved her in the lip sync challenge. Oh my God. She was so sexy. Oh my God. She was so beautiful. And her movement, I just don't take Alaska as a dancer. And maybe she didn't have a lot of dancey poses, but like the one where she kind of like leaned on Steve. Oh, that was so beautiful. I loved it. She was like Britney Spears, 2007 VMA with a snake on her shoulders. I also kind of love the look on the runway. I wish I could have that jacket. I love the white mascara. I thought that was really like, it was very striking against like the pink face makeup. The wig was a little weird. The nails I thought was really cool. It read more mad scientist to me than like future of drag. And I could see how Michelle was like, you're from Planet Glamtron, like give me more glam. And I kind of would have liked to see that too. But overall, I really liked Alaska this week, but I understand why she wasn't top two.
Brent, are you beaming Alaska up anytime soon into your UFO?
Well, yes and no. First of all, let's talk about the look first. I feel like I've seen this look before. This looks very reminiscent of the cotton candy challenge look, at least the hair.
The candy ball.
Yeah, exactly. So, and I didn't love the hair. I felt it looked a little bit Party City. I wish Allie was here to hear me use that reference. But like, I'm looking at the hairline and the neckline in the back, and like you can totally, it looks so cheap. It really does. The makeup was somewhat interesting. I'll give her a pass on that. I felt like there could have been more done here, but it's cute. And again, she does this thing where her shoes are very matchy-matchy, and I wish she would go off-brand a little bit sometime and throw in something there that is really cool. She had some white pumps this time with this sort of like, you know, electric blue outfit. And I will say this, it wasn't silver, so that gives her a passing grade.
Yeah, that's very true.
I'm sorry, I didn't talk about the lip sync. Yeah, the lip sync. How could I forget the lip sync? Oh my God. First of all, for all, you know, I'm sure the people listening to our podcast want to hear this. Yes, thank God they used the pit crew in this episode. Miles Davis Moody, who is the guy on the left with the little mustache, and the other guy, I forget his name. His name is Bryce. The guy on the right is actually a straight boy, which is so funny to me. The redhead, he's a straight boy, and he has a great time on RuPaul's Drag Race. But
how could you not?
Oh my God!
It's the most fun ever.
Right. And then later on down the line, the African-American boy, Jason Carter, who I love, also came out. But anyway, like the use of the two boys in this lip sync challenge was so fun. At first, I thought they really were naked. And then they saw that they were wearing like some sheer, you know, underwear with like the leaves put over it. Alaska as herself, she was fine. She was very Alaska. But I'd also agree with the judgment that she should have been just safe. She wasn't wowing me this episode. You know how sometimes Michelle says that queens are resting on pretty. I feel like Alaska is resting on Alaska right now. And if you don't get that, I can't explain it to you.
A fun fact, I actually have in the past tried to rock the look that the pit crew was having in this first section. I had to a show where there was an orgy and I had to wear a dance belt and those sheer shorts and one little fig leaf. And I remember doing that show for my parents. And
oh my God.
I did not make eye contact with them for the entire hour long car ride home. That's the fun of doing musical theater, ladies and gentlemen. I thought Alaska really killed this first section. I think Carson said you had to be in a tough spot by starting it off, but you started it off really well. It sucks that you can't really criticize the outfit like you did with Katya, because Eve is known for not wearing anything, so it's really tough for Alaska to really screw anything up. The look was not doing it for me. The hair was interesting. I wasn't a big fan of like that midnight blue frock. I think, yes, Future is a very open for interpretation type of category, but when I think of Future, I don't necessarily think of aliens. The nails just looked like taped together coat hangers. And I also wasn't a big fan of like the screaming thing that she did. Like you said, Brent, that is very Alaska, but it wasn't doing it for me, whereas everyone else had kind of interpreted it as more, you know, android based or like something out of the Jetsons or out of the Fifth Element. She went in an entirely different direction and it didn't necessarily work for me in this case.
Yeah, I didn't really love the outfit, mainly because I didn't feel like it was that Future. I thought it was more like 90s club kid. Like I could see like a 90s club kid wearing this outfit, you know, maybe not the makeup, but everything else I thought was there. And, you know, it was just okay.
Everyone get out of the dance floor if someone walked into the club with 3 foot long sharp nails.
I guess I'm not talking about the nails eyes. Either, right?
So let's move through her story here. Let's talk about Helen of Troy, Fifi O'Hara. I want to speak personally first about her bit, because I talked before about how I feel like Katya got a little bit of a short stick with the Princess Di lyrics and bit itself not being great. Helen of Troy's was pretty horrible, in my opinion. Ugh. It was just her screaming,
it was
Troy,
awful.
I'm Helen of Troy, while and Fifi, you know, granted...
And Fifi didn't even get the lip sync that great.
Yeah, exactly.
She had, like, three words, and she couldn't even, like, nail it.
Exactly. And I personally, based on this performance alone, might have put Fifi in the bottom over someone like Ginger. But then that outfit came in. Now, Haley, I mean, Fifi is a cosplayer. We've talked in the past couple of episodes about how, you know, I think even last episode, how Detox's outfit was interesting, but you can make the argument that she'd already prepared it. So it might not be as, you know, as outstanding as if someone had created that outfit. Did the fact that obviously Fifi had prepared this outfit beforehand, did that affect your judgment of her this week?
No, I thought it was really awesome and dynamic, and I thought it was a great picture of what Fifi does now. In my Instagram, like, you know, the feed where pictures come up that you don't actually like follow the people. So Fifi's 365 days of drag like often comes up in that feed. So like I like looking at that, and what she's doing is pretty amazing. And whether or not you really truly define it as drag, you know, that's open to your interpretation. But I thought this look was super representative of what she's doing now. And I love seeing that side of Fifi, and she was clearly really excited to put this outfit on the runway.
Mm-hmm. Bren, what did you think about Fifi this week, both lip sync wise and outfit wise?
Lip sync, meh, like, but she really, like Katya, got stuck with a big turd. Like, there was nothing great about Marie Antoinette. Helen of Troy.
That was my personal pun, Helen of Turd.
Oh, Helen of Turd. Well, it was Marie Antoinette. It was Marie Antoinette, right? Or is it Helen of Troy?
Detox was Marie Antoinette.
Oh, thank you. Okay, okay. I'm gonna mix up.
If you didn't remember her name, she said it about 15 times.
I can see both of them, but then like I was like, oh, what? I'm like, and then I thought you were making a joke, so I was like, well, am I right? Okay, okay, yes. Detox was Marie Antoinette with the cake, and Fifi was with the ponytail. Yes,
and the guitar. I love Fifi's Helen of Troy look, but it just like didn't. The performance was weird to me.
It was
maybe
okay
I'm just like not
me.
Into screamo either. But
okay, here's the thing. I'm looking at the look now. This is the thing. It was so forgettable. Like I literally forget about it. Like it was. I didn't. It just looks like. I mean, it just looks like she's like came out of the cast of Cleopatra or something. Like there was nothing special about it.
It was she very looked, Meg from. What's that movie?
Hercules. Or you don't know the name of it. Anyway, but for real, the cosplay thing, this saved her from being in the bottom right here. I think there would have been a bottom three if not for this outfit. Like, this was amazing. I could not take my eyes off of her. She could have, if she had any semblance of a good character in the lip sync whatsoever, she could have won the challenge based off of this look alone. I don't care that she was given, that she brought this with her, that she knew it was coming. All of the other queens did too. And you didn't see them come up. Look what Ginger Min showed up in, for God's sake, okay? Fifi, this is amazing drag. She is tucked. She's got tits. She looks amazing. And I love the fact that she went with gold and not silver. I mean, like, wow, this was stupendous. It was a really amazing work.
Yeah, I was really blown away by this. I mean, it harkened back to a more high-class version of Jeff Goldblum's look from Earth Girls Are Easy as the big blue alien that went down to Earth. It just looked, I mean, it was cosplay, and you could tell this is what she does professionally, and she does it really well. And I know Bob asked us on Twitter, how did Fifi not win with that outfit and gun? It was by far the best, but I think we're all in agreement that her lip sync was far from the best. So if we're going with this sort of judges criteria that Brent had kind of presented last week, where the judges go off of the main challenge with the runway kind of being a little bit of a tiebreaker, if we're going to put ourselves in the judges' heads, it seems like Fifi was probably in the bottom three or so. I mean, even Michelle's going to point out that even outside of her bit, she was faded a lot into the background with the other girls when the challenge is to really stand out. So she probably would have been in the bottom three, but because of this look, I'm assuming it kept her out there. All right, so... Yeah. Ginger Minj. Brent just talked about her beforehand. She's horsing around here. I mean, Ginger, as Jeremy Scott said, is a born performer. She should do a one-woman show. Brent, did she rein in a good performance for you? And did this make up for the fact that her look probably was not so great?
The look was the worst on the runway. Real tea, that's the truth. The look was terrible. Okay, so let's just put that out there right away. I don't know how Haley feels about it, but that's how I feel about it. Number two, about the lip sync, it was good when she was on stage. However, she was not good at stealing the scenes from the other queens. And by the way, that is what the challenge dictated. It wasn't about when it's your turn, come out there and do a good job. Okay. That's not what it's about. It's about stealing the scenes from the other queens. When you're not the main focus, do the people in the audience, do their eyes go to you? Oftentimes I went to Alyssa. Oftentimes I went to Detox. I never went to Ginger Minj. I think this is what she runs into when she is like a trained actress, when she's trying to be deferential to other queens when it's not her turn. That works against her because I know like from like Mike, you know, hey, Haley, I don't know if you know from acting, when the focus isn't supposed to be on you, you're not supposed to do anything that gets you the focus in real life acting. But when you're a drag queen, Rue wants you to grab the scene and chew the scenery up. So, you know, Ginger really failed on that front. So I actually, we'll get to the elimination, but I didn't love her lip sync, mainly because I didn't see her outside of her own damn lip sync. And the outfit was atrocious.
Yeah, Haley, we got a couple of questions from Barbie, from Mark Anthony Galvin. Everyone was kind of asking, did Ginger deserve to be in the bottom two with that lip sync performance? Do you agree with them? Do you think that based on how she performed, not just in her Catherine the Great bit, but overall, that despite her outfit, that should have kept her out of the bottom?
You can disagree with me.
No. It's not that I disagree with you. It's that, like, I almost feel like we kind of touched on it earlier. Like, I almost feel like no one deserved to be in the bottom. And I love Ginger, and I was really upset to see her go. But I'm such a, like, a Katya stan that I was like, you're not going anywhere, girlfriend. I agree with Brent, like, just wholeheartedly. Her runway look was just a total fucking dumpster fire. Her wig was awful. I hated it. Her makeup was, like, too much, and it wasn't, like, future. It was just, like, well. And
right.
her dress just seemed so DIY that it was like, oh, like, I can't.
It looked like something your mom would make you, like, with a little bit of, like, fabric that was bunched in the back and, like, with a train. And
she
hair.
Got those, like, lights from, like, Hobby Lobby, and it's just like,
yeah.
I didn't like it. And when she got eliminated and she, like, walked into the workroom, her one boob, the lights had gone out. So it was so DIY, and I didn't like it. I liked her lip sync for performance. I agree with Jeremy Scott. I think she's a star. I think she's funny and captivating and wonderful. And Brent, what you said really makes sense. As, like, a trained actress, she has been taught, like, not to steal the scene in those kinds of scenarios, and that's really what she had to do.
Right.
Yeah. I mean, that's the thing, though, is that when you're in a show on stage in the theatrical sense, you're part of a team. Here, you're not part of a team. You're all doing stuff together. But as Rue pointed out, and as you pointed out, Brent, it's your goal to stand out individually. And I can totally understand it's tough to remove yourself from that mentality. And Ginger has been involved in so much musical theater that it's probably a tough habit to break. But she didn't break it. And as a result, she wound up in the bottom. I could not agree more about that outfit. I mean, especially that black cape / train. It just looked so amateur. And this whole idea about her saying, oh, yeah, the future is going to go back to like retro Brady Bunch, like, that logic is confusing. And also, again, if you're saying I want to have my bodice light up, you realize that with all these lights on stage, they're not going to see it unless you're in total darkness. That would be like walking out with a glow stick. And if you walked out on a big stage with the glow sticks with light shining down on you, nothing's glowing out there. So I don't understand the logic as to why Ginger thought she would have lit up the runway. But
yeah,
that's going
to
lay.
Again, we're going to go back to the fact she's an actress. As somebody who spends that, like, a lot of time under lights and putting on costumes and stuff, you would think she would have, like, an understanding of what works under those lights and what doesn't.
Well, let's talk about something that definitely did shine out amongst the lights. And I'm talking about Detox's fluorescent getup as Marie Antoinette. And of course, her android-esque look on the runway, which is going to end with her in the top two. Brent, were you as gagging for Detox this episode as the judges were?
I really was. And I we have to put on our tinfoil hat about, you know, who won the lip sync and everything, because I was astounded at Detox throughout this entire episode. First of all, her look for Marie Antoinette. You know, she could have done anything. She could have come in, like, some, you know, pale pink pastel, something with gray hair, and that would have passed for Marie Antoinette. No, instead, she does something neon with this, like, red pink fluorescent ball gown with this yellow hair. Was so out of the box. I absolutely loved it. Her lip sync was great. Even when she wasn't lip syncing, I found myself drawn to her, partially because of her lip sync, partially because of the way she moved. I feel like she moved really well in that outfit. And then to drop the hammer down, oh my God, when she came out on the runway. First of all, you can say, oh, well, she just was painted in a bunch of silver and that's what, you know, she just has a great body. But no, she came out in sunglasses and a wig and took it off. Like, you have to think outside of the box in order to do something like that, to really wow Rue. Like, if she had just come out with the ball cap on in the silver, I think it would have been great. But when she came out with the wig and the sunglasses and whipped them both off, and then you have the reveal of this amazing look, it was like, OMG. She owned it. She owned the lip sync and she owned the runway. I thought she was absolutely amazing. I really did.
Haley, was Detox serving you anything outside of cake?
Unpopular opinion. I just don't connect with Detox. She's never been my favorite. Her runway, I liked it, but it didn't blow me away. Like, I wasn't screaming like the judges were. I thought it was great. I thought it took a lot of patience, and she's going to be having to deal with inhaling glitter for, like, a very long time.
Yeah, she's going to have Tin Man Syndrome. She might have to get evacuated from the show.
Yeah, and I have to give her some leeway here, because this season was filmed like basically right after season 8. So she didn't get to see Robbie Turner's fluorescent outfit, which was basically Marie Antoinette. So I feel like I'd have liked that look better if I hadn't seen it before. Her lip sync style, I don't know, something about it just throws me off. And I thought it worked well with the Marie Antoinette part because she had so many like long notes that the jaw thing, it really kept it interesting, as if she, like, instead of like just having your mouth open for like 15 minutes. I don't know. Detox just doesn't always do it for me.
Wow, and, like, I feel like you're channeling Allie. Like, I'm getting some contrarian opinion.
I've been trying to agree with you, but yeah. Just here, and I know it's not a popular opinion, but
no, I agree with you on this. I don't connect with Detox either. There's a little bit of a coldness to her that I can't get past. So there's that.
Her confessionals, like, I just can't get into them because of the fucking highlighter yellow mushroom cut and eyebrows.
See,
so off-putting to me.
We're gonna have to look at that all season long. I told you that, but I will say this.
I just can't with that look.
You're losing your voice. You can't tell. I don't know. Like the when she, like in the first episode when like Roxy was doing the burlesque number and Detox was like, yeah. Yes, yes. And then she, like, for Ginger Number, she was doing like the lighter and everything. Like, I mean, like, I enjoy her cattiness in the confessionals, but
and
there
like,
is a bit of coldness that if you're not, you know, yes,
she's just never going to be my favorite.
Okay, cool. Mike, are you there? Oh no.
Well, I would also say I'm here. Okay. I'm here. I might throw out a theory about why I personally don't connect with Detox. I mean, there's a lot of expressiveness that exists within one person's eyebrows, and the fact that Detox has them drawn on, unfortunately, due to her accident, it means that she's kind of stuck with a, for lack of a better term, kind of a resting bitch face. So maybe that's one reason why we aren't able to connect with her in that regard.
Okay, that's definitely possible.
And maybe because, like, most of her parts are plastic, it's hard for a human to connect with, like, you know, a plastic water bottle. It's the same with Detox.
Shade.
But Haley, you love Trixie Mattel, so theoretically you would love any other plastic drag queens.
Great point.
But I don't know. Maybe it's just an exception to the rule. I agree with you, Haley. I thought that Detox's little aria section with Marie Antoinette was the perfect way for her to show off her definitive lip sync style, which I don't think she actually used that much during Lip Sync for Your Legacy,
which I'm glad, because it would have just felt like too kitschy for me. It's like she's done it before. She's done it 5 times now.
I mean, that was also another section that wasn't great, lyrically speaking. I mean, it was just her serving out pieces of cake, and then the joke is that, oh, she sings a really long note. It's really, I mean, for lack of a better term, a little one note, but I thought Detox definitely saved whatever middling performance might have come out with that, with her look. I mean, the ambition, like Brent said, is outstanding. There were, you know, a few cracks here and there. If you look in high definition, you could see that the bald cap was not completely smoothed in, but the pure audacity to be in a competition where men dress up like women, to go out almost completely nude as sort of a sexually ambiguous, futuristic android, I thought was definitely worthy of a top spot, personally speaking.
Cool. All right. Next up, who we have?
All right. Well, Brent, I'm glad that you rushed it along because we're getting to your girl, Alyssa Andrews. Not, damn it. this is going to be stuck in my head for the rest of the season. Now I hope Roxy leaves so that I'll be able to just say Alyssa Edwards from now on.
Right.
Alyssa Edwards as Annie Oakley with the sharpshooters going bang, bang, giving guys lap dances. Brent, were you saying yippee-yi-ki-yay to Alyssa's performance? Both here and on the runway.
I know this is so predictable, but I really was. I know it was a bit of a dancing challenge and a lip sync challenge, which are things that Alyssa definitely excels at. And she didn't disappoint me. I couldn't take my eyes off of her throughout the lip sync. I thought she was hilarious. Now, look, if you don't like the things that Alyssa does, you're not going to like Alyssa during the lip sync, because she's definitely Alyssa-ing herself all over the place with the looks, with the eyes, with the hands, with the way she moves her body. Somebody said that when like she was being taught the dance number and you saw her like falling all over the place, it was like a drunk lady hailing a cab, when that's exactly what it looked like to me. But I love that about Alyssa. So during the performance, I thought she killed it. Again, I was not just paying attention to her as she's lip syncing. She was great at that. I thought she had a lot of fun with the male model who was there, Jason Carter, is one of the pit crew. But also beyond that, when she was dancing, I thought she stole the scenes great. Now, this runway, it was a lot. I'll say that. However, there was nobody else that I saw that had a great lip sync and a great runway. I would not call her runway great, but it was like great minus. Like, it was almost there. I felt like it was a little bit much, but then again, she's an effing drag queen. So what do I want? I mean, I like, if you're going to err on the side of something, I'd rather you err on the side of giving me too much. I love this top thing that she has on her head that looks like tinfoil. In fact, it may be tinfoil. I don't know. The boots, oh my God, they were to die for. That's what I want when I want a drag queen. I want somebody with some amazing boots like that. And she looked her makeup was the bomb. I loved everything about this outfit. It was a little bit like, I don't know where to look, but give me more. I can't stand it.
Haley, do you think Alyssa gunned down the competition this week like she did in her piece as Annie Oakley?
I did. And honestly, I watched this whole episode being like, holy shit, Brent's going to lose it. He's going to love this. He's going to love this Alyssa. Every part of Alyssa, I loved it. I thought she was fantastic. Her dance piece, I couldn't take my eyes off her. I thought she was unsurprisingly the best dancer, the best mover. She got to play with the pit crew, and that was cute. I thought the words she had in her lip sync were probably the strongest. What else? I don't know. She was just so compelling in every scene, and she was great. I agree with Brent. Her look on the runway was a lot, but that's exactly what I expect from Alyssa Edwards.
Right.
One thing we have not mentioned was her lip sync look, which I thought was to die for. She was like this beautiful like 80s lady, and I loved it.
Do you think there should be some detraction points though, because she did change her look, whereas Detox, for instance, did not?
If Alyssa tried to dance in those boots, where like the platform was taller than me, she would have died, and we would have gotten the Alyssa lip sync that we know and love in those boots.
Right, exactly. There's always been a standing invitation. If you're in the top two or the bottom two, I guess in the past, you can change going into the lip sync. And they always let the other queen change as well. Like last week when Katya changed, there was no way she could have lip synced in that. Although Allie did make a funny point, which that I almost wish she had, because that would have been even more funny. But they also gave the other queen the opportunity to change as well. Detox threw a little bit of shade on it, but we can get to that when we get to the lip sync.
Yeah, I mean, I'll echo what you guys said. I think I agree, Haley, that I think she had probably the strongest piece lyrically speaking out of all of them. It was the most high energy, which I think is something that you really like. We even talked about this the very first week with the talent show, how as great as Ginger sounded on her ballad like song, I think that's going to be much less interesting than Alaska singing her up tempo funny number. So I think the fact that Alyssa had the most energetic part definitely played into her wheelhouse. The look was something out of, you know, Tina Turner in Thunderdome, which again is sort of like futuristic retro type of thing, but in a different way that Ginger Minj is. And I wasn't a huge fan of it, but I don't know. I'm very on and off with Alyssa's look, sort of like you have to be on and off with Alyssa's personality in general. She's either going to be a 1 or a 10 for you. So if she was a 10 on the lip sync and a 1 for the looks, like you said, Brett, nobody really did fantastically at both that it would warrant them a spot in the top. So I think it totally makes sense as to how she wound up there. Let's move down south, guys, at least south of the equator, not south as in the land of Annie Oakley. Roxy as Ava Perone. Not a big episode for Roxy Andrews, not Edwards, this week. Haley, give me your thoughts about Roxy's Ava Perone and also her own futuristic look on the runway.
Another unpopular opinion. She had my favorite look in the lip sync and probably my favorite look on the runway. Her lip sync look was very understated, but oh my God, I thought it was just so striking, the blonde wig and the nude colored suit with like the black stars on it. I loved it. Her performance was fine. I think it was passable. It's not going to be the best. It's not going to be the worst. If you saw the clip on Logo TV about her having a crush on Anthony of Ash and Ant,
right.
That was pretty funny. I like that. I'm always kind of like high on Roxy Andrews too. Like where I'm low on Detox, I'm high on Roxy. I loved her, her runway outfit. I know the judges read her a little bit that it's just kind of like, oh, when you think of future, this is kind of what you think of. And it's like, fine. I thought it was very intricate. I loved the makeup, the wig and the outfit together. It was very Roxy Andrews. So she stuck on brand, but, with the theme. So I liked Roxy this episode a lot.
Are you with Haley? Were you high flying adored on you just had Roxy to get that Andrews in. This week?
You
Listen, this is my wheelhouse.
I know. Right?
I know Avita back in front.
I tried to move on past it, but I was like, okay, he's got to get it in. Fine, that's okay. So I'm just throwing shade, Mike. Okay, so first of all, about Ava Perón, I thought it was good, not great. I thought like she could have done more here. I mean, look, Ava Perón wore more than just her hair and a blonde bob, like, you know, in a ponytail and a black sort of pantsuit. Like you can do more than that. Okay. She wore red. She wore orange. She wore yellow. Like there were many things you could have done for Ava Perón that I thought would have been more eye catching on the runway. Having said that, going to the runway itself, the fashion part for the future of drag, boy, did this look like a trick or treater or what? I mean, I was not impressed by this. I'm sorry. I'm gonna have to disagree with my girl Haley. I thought that it was so predictable. I agree with the judges. You know, with the contacts. Look, she made an effort with the jewelry that's hanging in her face, like across the wig. I liked that, but the bodice itself, I thought was pretty ugly. The shoes were very matchy-matchy in terms of the outfit itself. Like, if she had gone with, like, a neon purple pump or something, I thought that would have been great. Like, that would have been something so outside the box. But instead, it's just a black pump. So blasé. I wasn't impressed by it. But she wasn't bad enough to be in the bottom three or bottom two as we have now. So I thought she should have been safe, and she was.
Yeah, the look in the lip sync, I was not digging personally. It was giving me like a beach full of sea urchin realness. I wasn't, and I looked up like looks of Ava Perón saying, okay, is this like Princess Di? Is there a definitive time when she wore this type of thing? And not really. So I'm a little confused as to why Roxy thought this would be a good representation of who Ava was.
This is the look that was on the cover of the Evita poster when Madonna was starring as Ava Perón. Like, that's exactly who she was channeling there.
Oh, well, then I guess it makes sense with the lyrics, which, again, was sort of a one note thing about how Ava Perón did Evita better than Madonna.
Right.
That piece, I thought there wasn't any sort of big props. There was one big sort of tango line, but there wasn't that much to do. But I thought Roxy did a serviceable job with that. I'm probably somewhere in the middle with you two when it comes to my opinion on her look. Like Michelle said, I don't think it was my favorite. I was, I guess, appreciative of the face jewelry, which reminded me of like the Persians from 300 with chains hanging out of every sort of orifice. But yeah, for me, the bodice didn't scream future to me. It more so screamed something like Gladiator, which again is not terribly futuristic, but I do not think it would have warranted her a spot in the bottom. But I would say I was probably least impressed with her overall this week, if that makes sense. All right, let's get to it,
guys. You were least impressed with her, so did you?
Go ahead, Brent.
Well, no, I think there's a little bit of a delay, like when you're talking and I'm talking, because I was calling for you a few moments and then you didn't come back. So maybe there's a delay on my end or not. I'm not sure exactly what's going on.
Oh, no, that's okay. That's okay. You can read me if you want to. What were you going to say?
Well, no, I'm just going to question, were you so down on Roxy that you thought she should have been in the bottom, or were you just, or what?
Yeah, that's what I'm trying to really think about, because arguably I would have said that my bottom three were probably Ginger, Katya, and Roxy. And I guess I feel like Katya deserved to be down there, but I'm really trying to think about, you know, I was meh on Roxy during the lip sync and I was okay on her outfit, whereas Ginger, I liked her performance, but I did not like her look whatsoever. So I guess I sort of have to balance those out, and I guess I take the meh above the really don't like the outfit. I guess the runway really serves as the tiebreaker there. So if I did my own power rankings this week, I might have to put Roxy third from the bottom, which good thing that there wasn't a bottom three, because if she wound up in there, who knows, with Alyssa being such a wild card, there's a good chance she could have gone home.
Yeah, exactly.
All right, let's talk about Princess Di. We've talked about her before. We've slaughtered the topic, if you will, talking about how Katya might have been royally screwed when it came to this. Haley, talk to me about, you know, we talked about Katya's performance a little bit, but if you have any more thoughts about that. But I want to hear mainly your opinion on her take on the future of drag.
I love Katya so much. Her confessionals are the best part about this season. My favorite secondary storyline going on is Katya messing with Fifi. And they did a clip of that on the Logo Bonus features where she admitted in confessional. She's like, yeah, I'm trying to egg her on. I think it's hilarious. And it is. It's so funny. Like you saw in the Helen of Troy clip where she was like, oh, at least you're good at something. And then Fifi's like, what? And then Katya just like looks over and smiles. Or in the end when she was... Ginger was like, well, if it would have lit up, you know, I think I would have got better marks. And Katya was just like, no, it's still hideous. Like, I don't know what I would do without her on the show. And I really didn't like this runway look. And I was so worried for her this episode. I thought the look was very, like, Bjork leftover costume pieces thrown together. The dress was not great. The wig was kind of cool. The makeup was... fine, but it was just, you know, in a week where everything was very silver and she was also in silver, it was hard to say that she, you know, she wasn't the bottom.
Yeah, the look to me was just not flattering. I mean, it was a big smock and the hair was fun, but it was something out of like the mom from My Big Fat Greek Wedding, personally speaking. So it just did not work for me. Brent, do you have any thoughts about Katya's look on the runway?
There wasn't as much variation as I would have liked in the runway look. Number one, I mean, it would looked like a big bunch of fabric of silver. I mean, I agree with Carson that there was too much covered up here. I felt like maybe the sleeve should have been shorter, or like she didn't need the sort of wraparound on her boots that she put in to make it look like she has these silver boots on. The skirt part of it made her look like she was pregnant. The makeup wasn't anything special. The hair was interesting. I thought she could have done more with it, though. And I know that sounds crazy when she has hair that big, but there could have been some jewelry pieces. There could have been some. Something, a crown. So I don't know. Something to give it some variety. But there was so much silver in this. No. I mean, I know you're not supposed to mix silver and gold, but anything else, any other neon color would have been fun, possibly could have saved her here. But let's be honest. I think this ending of this series, this particular episode, was pre-written, because the minute she got stuck with Princess Di, there was almost nothing she could do to save herself from being in the bottom three or the bottom two, whichever they decided. I mean, you know, maybe if she had a really amazing runway like Fifi, she could have possibly stayed out of the bottom two. But on the other hand, who are they going to pick? You know, I mean, this was an episode where everybody was really, really, really good. So they were splitting hairs. I just didn't love the runway look. Princess Di, to beat Catherine the Great's dead horse. There was nothing fun about it. It was just. I really felt like that was more an indictment of the character, not of Katya's ability as a performance artist as a whole.
We do see Katya a lot this episode, sort of jumping around and talking to other people. Now I'm not going to make the assumption that, oh, she should have spent more time working on her look and less time talking with her friends. But it almost comes across like that from the edited product, personally speaking, where I completely agree. She could have done so much more with her look, just accessorizing personally. But because she made things so simple, I feel like that really did detract. Haley, do you think that Katya was the definitive bottom person, in your opinion, this week?
Yeah.
I know. I'm sorry. I had to eke that out of you.
Right.
Just wanted to squeeze
out
the last amount of
fandom. But I'm so thankful that we have Queen Alyssa Edwards to just throw this stupid criteria that they have on its head and be like, no, I'm going to pick who I think should stay.
So let's jump into that, because we covered the majority of the judges' critiques, and so let's get into this sort of deliberation process while everyone else gets their mani-pedis. Haley, what were your thoughts when you initially heard about this twist of the queens eliminating each other, and how do you think it's carried out going into episode 3? Were you as disappointed about it as we have been the past couple of episodes?
Yeah, so when I first heard about it, I kind of hated it. But then I was like, no, I love it. It's kind of, it's cutthroat and it's amazing. And these girls will do whatever it takes. But man, it's
wah, wah.
Yeah, I don't think it's doing what they thought it would do. It's almost like they forgot that this is All Stars and all these girls know each other and work with each other. And this drag community is so small that if they screw over someone, you know, it could lead to it could be a career ending mistake, and no one can afford that. So I really don't think it's playing out how they thought it would. Of course, Alyssa is the person to turn that on its head and be like, okay, but sure, but no.
Yeah. And I think that another big thing that the producers wanted to get out of this was they wanted the queens to, you know, meet with people and throw each other under the bus. But you'll see when both Detox and Alyssa pull Katia aside, they're like, great, Katia, why should we keep you over Ginger? And Katia's like, I don't know. You do what you need to. And I think it's a result of these queens are probably so demure and shocked to be in the bottom that they're really not going to try to campaign for the other person. Brent, as our big Alyssa Stanner of the recap panel, I want to hear your opinion about this whole sort of inner monologue Alyssa is having about, you know, I see the fire in Katia's eyes, but I also see the fire in Ginger's eyes. What were you thinking about her change in her own personal criteria away from judges' critiques and more so towards ambition?
Good for her, number one, because I'm bored. I really was. I agree with Haley. I think that the producers and RuPaul severely miscalculated when they decided to spring this twist on these queens who all know each other and have to work with each other. Look, only one queen is going to win $100,000, okay? And that money goes fast. The other nine queens, they're out the door. Unless you win a challenge, you don't get no money except for your stipend for being there. You've got to work with these people. The drag community is small, okay? So they're not going to be as cutthroat as we would like them to be. This would work great on a season where the queens don't know each other. It works great on shows like Survivor and Big Brother because the game demands that. And not only that, but you don't have to be with these people afterwards. I'm so glad that Alyssa decided to take this opportunity to flip the script and do something interesting. I don't know what her motives are. I'm going to put on my tinfoil hat for a second. Number one, Haley, I'm sure if she was here, she would talk about this. The fact that they have to pick the lipstick of doom first, and the producers know who the queens have picked. That is a little telling to me because, you know, the lip sync was close. It could have gone Detox's way. The fact that it went Alyssa's way, I think all of the queens were like, like holding their breath because, you know, once you break down this door of criticism, you know, like, you know, we're going to go by the judge's criticism, then it's completely broken down and people can do whatever they want. Now, if Alyssa is not the worst next week and she's in the bottom, people will feel fine eliminating her because now she went and did this. Okay. So I was glad for it. On the other hand, a couple of different things are working together here. Number one, she may know or realize how popular Katia is and didn't want to be the one to eliminate her. Some people have floated that idea on Twitter. I do believe
that Alyssa's too dumb for that, to be honest with you.
No.
Really? Katia, are you sure? I honestly feel like this is like one of those things where Alyssa would follow her heart. And she truly feels like Katia has more to offer than Ginger. And like
I have to dismiss that out of hand. And you can have that opinion, and that's a completely valid opinion, although I think it's wrong. I just think that she did this for a reason. Number one, she did it because she was afraid. She didn't want to be the one to eliminate Katia, and she feels like she's going to get eliminated later on. She doesn't want to be the one to have to do it. Number two, she's playing the game. She saw Ginger as more of a threat to what Alyssa does personally, and she wanted to keep Katia because Katia is somebody who doesn't exactly line up with exactly what Alyssa does. At least that's what Ginger said in her, you know, after the scene elimination. And number three, and this is the one that is more interesting to me. I think at this point, the producers have to know that they've laid a big fat egg with this twist. And I can see them talking to Alyssa in confessional saying, you know, who do you want to eliminate here? It's been very predictable so far, you know, and Alyssa is a smart girl. She'll get the hint. So I could see them kind of nudging her in that direction. If they have to keep a queen, I think the producers would rather keep Katya here and not Ginger.
Are you implying that there's manipulation in the confessionals, Brent?
I'm just saying that, like Big Brother, I think with the questions can be leading and they can, you know, get a queen to go where they want her to go by asking the right kind of questions. Look, it's been awfully boring this season. I mean, at this, like, if not for Alyssa Edwards, I was like, why do we even have the lip sync? Because we know who's going to go home. I don't give a F who wins $10,000. That's not my money. You know, I just want to know who's going home. And if you already know who's going home, then there's no fun in it. The queens, I realize that they have to work with each other, but they sure as hell didn't think about the TV viewers when they were manufacturing this supposed principle of how they were going to eliminate each other. It just doesn't make for very good TV viewing. I think they can see that after the fact, but in the moment, they just didn't know what to do. Like I said, thank God for Alyssa Edwards for whatever reason she did it.
Yeah, I have mentioned many times before, especially in our cast preview when we brought up the idea of this twist, and I was hopeful that these are all entertainers. They all want to make good TV, so hopefully this means that there will be big blindsides. So far, we have gotten two whiffs when it's come to that. This is the first time. This wasn't a gigantic blindside as much as like the next time on is going to try to make it out to be, but it was definitely a surprise. So I'm very appreciative of Alyssa for at least changing things up a little bit. I'm still a little confused by that whole ambition argument, just because you have these sort of confessionals in opposition where she meets with Katya and says, oh, well, Katya, even though she looks very down right now, I know she has more in her. Then she goes to see Ginger and says, oh, I can see the fire in Ginger's eyes as well. So it doesn't seem like there was any definitive criteria from that perspective. I do take objection to Ginger's comment at the end about how, you know, I can understand why Alyssa eliminated me because we do the same thing. They really don't. Alyssa's not. She's like a comedy queen, but she's like a comedy. The character is herself. It's not like Ginger, who will put on a Catherine the Great costume and act like that character. Alyssa's more causing unintentional comedy by just being herself. So I don't entirely understand what she was saying about them being inside the same wheelhouse. I would say maybe Ginger and Alaska might do that, but Alaska still has more style than Ginger. I think, you know, Alyssa could come up with any sort of reasons that she wants to have it happen. But I think the fact that she did make it happen is pretty significant for the season. At least I'm hoping. Haley, what do you think are going to be the ramifications from this decision throughout the rest of the competition?
I hope this is the inciting incident where, you know, that criteria gets thrown out the window and it's like, well, we're going to do it now. So it will lead to some more interesting deliberations later on. I hope that's what happens. But I feel like some of the girls will still stick with that, like especially like Roxy Andrews, who's really trying, even more than Fifi, trying to get that like season 5 character and be like, nope, that's not me. This is me. So I don't think she'd try to stay as straight-laced as possible, but who knows what could happen depending on who wins.
Brent, Kristen Bright asked us, now that someone has made a strategic elimination, who, if anyone, do you expect will still base eliminations on judging? Now, I know Fifi was the big voice this episode of how we've all agreed to this criteria. We're going to be just like the judges. Whoever was worse this week is going home. Now that that mold has been broken in a way, do you expect Fifi or any other queens to go back to that rubric if they get the power?
Well, I'm going to dismiss Fifi for a second because I feel like she's a special case along with Roxy because they're fighting past demons. The people who are going to stay true to this rubric of, you know, we're going to eliminate whoever does the worst via judges' critiques, I feel like are going to be the quote unquote better queens in terms of Alaska and Detox. I feel like those two are going to continue to eliminate based on who does the worst in the challenge. I wish they wouldn't, but I feel like they're going to because they don't want other queens to take a shot at them when they are in the bottom, because they're going to end up at the bottom at some point and they don't want to be eliminated. That's why you see a lot of these top queens who are saying, you know, no, 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 we have to stick to our principles here. We have to stick to the criteria because they know at some point they're going to be in the bottom, just like Detox was last week. And we were like, what the F? She could have been eliminated at that point. But she wasn't because they stuck true to this criteria. I just think there are a couple different moving parts here, and they're not exactly working together. Ginger, in her behind the scenes, after she was eliminated, she said, they said, who do you think is going to win? She said, I think Alaska's going to take it. I think Alaska's going to take it. No one's going to be able to stop her. I'm like, if you're one of the bottom queens, you need to eliminate Alaska at your first opportunity. Like, if Alaska, and by the way, in her fifth season, when her first season, when she was originally on the show, she was never, ever, ever in the bottom two. Okay. Mm-hmm. She never lip synced for her life. So it's going to be hard to get her there. But if you can get Alaska in the bottom two, you had best eliminate her. I don't care what Ginger Minch says, because that's your only chance to win, because I do feel like she's going to take the crown if you don't get rid of her. And I feel like Rue wants you to do that.
Yeah, definitely, because I think the last thing RuPaul wants are, I know that I think you had talked a little bit before, Brent, about how some people thought the first All-Star season was almost like a setup. They were putting on their own tinfoil headdresses, if you will. People were saying, oh, Ru wanted Chad Michaels to win, so, right, you know, he set up this entire thing. And I think the last thing Ru wants are calls of that again, so this might be a good way for Ru to dispel any of those rumors. Let's talk about the ramifications that this might have on Alyssa herself. Haley, Barbie asked us, do you think the queens will come for Alyssa now because of her elimination choice? Now, obviously, on the next time on, we see that Fifi is particularly angry at the decision that Alyssa had made. But do you think Alyssa is going to be public enemy number one? Do you think, like Annie Oakley, we're going to be seeing signs that are wanted for her at the OK Corral next week in the workroom?
I didn't see the previously on, so that's very interesting to hear that. I do think people are going to take issue with this. She's the first person to break the mold. And if people are already kind of getting tired of Alyssa in the workroom, like, this is just another thing to add on there.
Yeah. Brent, what do you think?
I mean, I don't know.
You're a big Alyssa person. Are you fearing for your girl now?
Am I fearing for her? I mean, no. I mean, like, look, if Katya wins a lip sync, you can't tell me that she's going to eliminate Alyssa Edwards. She ain't going to do it. Why is she going to do it at this point? I mean, I love this. And I love the fact that that would be great for Alyssa, that she kept someone in who is capable of winning so that she can be protected down the line. You know, Alyssa doesn't know it, but she's probably one of the weaker queens. Like, I don't think she is, but I think that she's perceived that way. And I think she could have trouble. So she may need protection going down the line. Now, Katya has been at least open to the idea of being a monster when it comes to eliminating people. Mm-hmm. You know, in her confessionals, you can and remember, all these confessionals were taped after the fact. So she already knows what happened. She's been toying with the idea in the foreshadowing of, well, you know, I when I have the power, I'm going to be a complete monster about it, you know. So who knows what's going to happen in the future, but I feel fine for Alyssa. Look, Fifi can get mad all she wants, but let me tell you, Fifi better be glad that Alyssa decided to flip the script and open the door so Fifi didn't have to be the one to do it, because now Fifi can eliminate somebody who is stronger than her if she wins a lip sync and not feel bad about it. And I feel like Fifi needs to do that if she wants a shot to win.
Yeah, though I think maybe what Fifi might have been angry about is the fact that Fifi might think of herself as a little bit of a higher standard than some of these queens, where she says, well, at least I'm a little safe now. I have a little bit of insulation because I know X queen, Y queen, Z queen are of a weaker quality than me. So if I end up in the bottom three, even if I have a not so great week, I have the tendency to have another queen do worse than me that week and they'll get eliminated. Now I feel like her shield has kind of been taken away from her and zapped with a ray gun, if you will, that now it's sort of open territory and now people can openly gun for her. I see what you're coming from, Brent, that I think she has the personality and she's definitely shown that in confessionals as of late to maybe turn into that Katya like monster and decide to go back into her old ways and really go after the big targets. But I'm wondering if maybe she's acting a little defensive about it because she thought, okay, I have at least a chance of going a little bit farther than I initially would have if we're only going off of the previously set criteria.
Yeah, I suppose. Like I said, I think she should be thankful for this, but she's not going to see it that way. But after the fact, maybe she'll be able to appreciate this. Look, I can't say this enough, and I know the fans agree with me. This has been boring, and Fifi doesn't realize it. The contestants don't realize it, but they have put in a principle, a rubric that is totally effing boring when it comes to the show. I think they think they're being noble but we hate Noble. I do not want to watch Noble reality television. That bites. I don't care that they have to work with these people. Like, you're in the game, play the game. When the game is over, go back to real life. That's how I see it. But they seem to be mixing real life in the game at this point, and it's not going well for them.
Haley, do you think social media might be a culprit? I mean, they talk earlier on this episode about detox doxing Fifi on social media because of this. Do you think that because these types of reality shows are now more open to an immediate response from the public means that they're trying to approach things a little more cautiously, especially when their careers depend on it? I mean, they're not going to try to pull a Jerry Manthe and, like, you know, get careers off of the fact that they are the biggest bitch on television. But because they're trying to get gigs everywhere, they might think, oh, if I do this, then I might not get booked places or people will start to hate me, which does not bode well if I want to make money.
Absolutely. I mean, Fifi O'Hara is a shining example of exactly that. She kind of got vilified on social media, and then she lost bookings because of it, and she lost fans because of it, and people didn't want to work with her. So she basically had to completely reinvent herself and her style of drag to be taken seriously again. And I feel like this is a huge show on social media, too. So that has to play a huge part of it in this All Stars edition, since everyone has been through this before. Like you said, this is their careers. This is their livelihood.
We did also kind of skip over the lip sync a little bit. Brent, agree or disagree, this was the most impressive of all three lip syncs we've seen thus far this season.
I mean, they haven't been great, let's be honest. So, I mean, I guess that's high praise. But I wasn't, I mean, it was okay.
With faint praise.
Right, exactly.
Haley, any thoughts about the lip sync?
I really enjoyed it. I thought the song was kind of perfect for what was going on. I thought Alyssa was great. Detox was fine. Like I said before, her lip sync style isn't my cup of tea, if you will. But I enjoyed watching it.
Before we start finishing things off, I want to again get your thoughts, Haley, about the twist that we found at the end of episode one and that we see yet again at the end of this episode when Ginger Minj quotes James from Big Brother 18 and says, what the hell? It turns out that a queen will have some ability to enact their revenge. Now, we've been speculating on this podcast whether that means someone's returning, whether it will be a jury, whether maybe, I don't know, they'll come back and get to vote somebody out. What were your thoughts about this twist when you first heard about it? And do you have any thoughts as to what it might be?
I kind of expected there to be a twist like this. It's All Stars, you know, lots of twists, lots of turns. My main thoughts are either, yeah, someone's coming back, obviously, or they're going to have their say somewhere along the line, where whether it's, you know, they vote a queen off themselves at some point or they pick the winner. I mean, I think it would be interesting for them to pick the winner because, you know, they pick the loser throughout the whole thing. So why wouldn't they have the opportunity to do that?
Brent, do you think there will be any ramifications if that's the case for Alyssa kind of going rogue and eliminating Ginger? I mean, Ginger flat out says once the twist is revealed, it's actually pretty funny because right before that she says, I really have no hard feelings towards Alyssa. And then Rue reveals you can get back for your revenge. And she says, oh yeah, I'm going right for Alyssa. Do you think, should there be a case, let's say there is a jury and Alyssa is in the finals, do you think this might be a definitive vote against Alyssa to possibly win?
I mean, I suppose, but I have discarded the idea that this is a jury because how the hell are they a jury? They're not seeing anything that happens after they leave. I mean, look, this is
a chance.
Yeah,
but they could do a Big Brother style and just show like the challenges in the runway.
I suppose, but I like, you can have that opinion, but I've dismissed that. That ain't happening. I know what's happening. I don't know from spoilers. I'm telling you, I know from watching this damn show that if Rue's talking about revenge, she's talking about them being able to get back in the competition and go after one of these bitches that eliminated them. That's what she's talking about. I really hope it is Ginger. At this point, it looks like Ginger's the clubhouse leader as far as people to come back. I can't imagine.
You're damning with faint praise again, Brent.
Yeah, I know, right? Well, you know, looking at Coco Montrese and Tatiana, although Tatiana did impress me in the first episode and I loved her beat. So, you know, and I don't know what it is about Ginger, but she's never been one of my, she's a great queen. She's fun, but she's never been one of my favorite. I try to separate her from the vast fact that was season seven, because, you know, a lot of the queens in there got a lot of hate, but I didn't hate the season as much as other people, but I also didn't love it as much as some people did. So Ginger's fine. I feel like I want more cattiness from her, and I feel like I get it, but I also feel like she mutes it at times a little bit, and I want more.
Yeah, Haley, we can segue into eulogizing Ginger a little bit, since we don't exactly know when we might see her again. Do you have any thoughts about her, both from her season seven game and her three episodes on All Stars?
I'm pretty disappointed to see her go, but I don't know who I'd rather see go instead. We're at that point in the season where I like everyone, and I don't want to see anyone go. Like, I was fine with Coco going, Tatiana I was okay with. I like Ginger in season seven. I think I'm a little higher in season seven than most people, mostly because of my girlfriend Trixie Mattel, but whatever, it's fine. I'm sad to see Ginger go, and if she's the one to come back, I'd be fine with that.
Yeah, I can sort of echo what I talked about last week with Ginger, where I thought she was a standout in season seven. She was probably one of my favorites. I, like Haley, am always a big fan of the comedy queens. And of course, as someone who also studied musical theater, I kind of have to side with her from that regard. But she really did not impress me that much this season. Even the Snatch Game, which is something that she absolutely killed in her original season, she was just so on.
And she thought she killed here, too.
Yeah, which was, again, you know, perspective is not always reality there, but she got overshadowed by her season seven co-patriot, which I think did not exactly bode well. I think she was not going to be a huge contender to win. I think we even talked about that in our cast preview. So unfortunately, if she had to go to make way for some bigger competitors, perhaps like Katya, to be able to make it further in the game, so be it. But I was happy to see her back. I think that the comment that she might have toned things back is interesting, because I didn't watch season seven at the time, so I'm not entirely sure if she had been, you know, if she had been castrated on social media this time, or castrated this time, feeling that, you know, I had gotten called out for being too mean last time. Now I'm not going to be as mean. I'm not exactly sure. Maybe she just feels like she was the big frog, I guess, in the pond in season seven, and now she knows that there are a lot bigger frogs around as well, so she's a little more mum about it. But I wasn't unhappy seeing her here, but she was more middle of the road than she was in her original season. Either of you have anything else you'd like to say about this episode before we bring it to a close?
No, I mean, it was a fun episode. I liked the idea for the runway, the future of drag. I felt like most of the queens connected. Some of them didn't. The lip sync extravaganza, I mean, you knew it was going to come at some point. They always do one, at least they have in the later seasons. The most modern seasons, they've always done one lip sync, one giant lip sync. And it's always very, very entertaining. It's very hard to screw this up, from my opinion. But I'm glad that this happened, because now we have something to talk about. It's not exactly clear cut moving forward who's going to be eliminated, and you know, life goes on. Sorry, Ginger, girl, bye.
Haley, any thoughts?
No, I am enjoying this season. I don't think it's like boring, but I'm hoping that this is really going to jumpstart, you know, the cutthroat that we are all hoping for.
Yeah, I think I would say that. I don't know if I jump so far, I agree, as to say it's boring, but I think I've liked, you know, the first two thirds of the first two episodes. I think once we got to the queen's deliberation and the lip sync and the final decision, then things turned a little boring. So I hope that this decision means that we'll get an entirely entertaining episode. I personally thought this might have been my favorite episode thus far, just from beginning to end. The challenge was very strong. The runway, not so much, but you get a lot of variance every week when it comes to the runway, and the decision was a little bit of a shocker. So I was entertained from beginning to end, and I only hope that that trend continues from now on. And we also hope that you guys will stick with us as we continue through RuPaul's Drag Race All Stars 2 here on Reality TV Rehap Ups. You can always subscribe to the Reality TV Rehap Ups feed by going to robhasawebsite.com/rehapups, RHAPUPS. Not only do you get coverage of this show, but you get to hear Brent and Haley as well. Brent on the Reality TV Happy Hour, wrapping up these last few weeks of Big Brother 18. Haley, I know you guys just wrapped up Bachelor in Paradise, and so you can listen to all the great stuff that's going on, including coverage of Australian Survivor as well. And we also have a dedicated feed to our RuCaps To find it, I don't know if there's a website link, but you can search for RuPaul's Drag Race on the iTunes store, or you can search for any one of our names and it will be up there. Subscribe, rate, and review us. Brent, I will, as always, throw it to you. Give the audience a plea as to why they should rate and review our feed on iTunes.
Because we are awesome, we're amazing, and how cool is it that Rob Has a Podcast has decided to recap RuPaul's Drag Race All-Stars 2. We need your feedback. We want to climb up the charts. Make sure you subscribe to our iTunes feed. Write something shady in there to me. Tell me that you hate me, that you get mad at me every time I interrupt somebody, or that I make a bad joke, or cuss, or swear, or say something. And I'm totally cool with it. But also say something positive about Mike and Haley and Allie, and throw bouquets of roses to them, and you'll make me very, very happy.
Yeah, I can't wait for all the iTunes reviews that will roll in and say, my favorite drag queen is Alyssa Andrews. I'm really expecting that. Haley, I just wanted to thank you so much for coming on. I know when I was binging RuPaul's Drag Race this summer, you and I gabbed back and forth about it. It's really an infectious energy that this show brings, and I was so happy to have you aboard for this episode. So thank you so much for coming on.
Thank you for having me. This was truly a dream come true. I was so excited to talk about it, and I had so much fun, and I hope you guys had fun with me, too. I know I'm not Allie, but I hope I did okay filling in for her.
You did okay.
You did great. You were no Princess Di, but you did a great job. you can follow all of these people on Twitter. Follow Brent. He's at One Lucky Gay. Haley is at HStrong_. Don't forget that underscore. I am at A Mike Bloom Type. We love to hear from you guys in any way, shape, or form about your thoughts about this episode, our opinions on the queens, what you think might be coming in the future. We always love to hear from you guys. To rehap things up, let's come up with a hashtag. I have tinfoil headdress. Do you guys have any other hashtags in mind?
Book it.
I love that.
All right. So let's go with tinfoil headdress after all of the production speculation that we did this episode, which was probably incorrect, but still a lot of fun. Hashtag tinfoil headdress if you made it to the end of this podcast. Thank you, as always, for listening. Thank you again to Haley Strong for being on. We will be back next week covering episode 4 to see if Alyssa's decision this week really was that monumental. But for now, sashay away. Bye.